What's up, everyone? This is the Destruction Reviews Podcast. My name is Jason, along with
Jeremiah.
And today, we're going to be discussing Madam Web, directed by S.J. Clarkson, and starring Dakota Johnson as Cassie Madam Web, Sydney Sweeney as Julia Cornwall, or the second Spider-Woman, Isabel Merced as Anya Corazon, or the third Spider-Girl, Celeste O'Connor as Maddie Franklin, who was the third Spider-Woman, Tahar Rahim as Ezekiel Sims, Emma Roberts as Mary Parker, who is Ben's sister-in-law, who is married to Richard Parker, and Adam Scott as Ben Parker. So, if you listened to our previous podcast, you know, we featured Spider-Man, the video game. Jeremiah's talked a lot about it, and it's talked about how he is our resident spider fan. So I'm going to give it to him and let him kind of direct the show.
Okay. Where should we start, man?
Well, I guess we should start with the fact that I think a lot of people are going to tune in to hear us crap all over this movie.
Okay.
And I think the internet negativity is fueling a lot of people's perceptions of this movie.
It's at an all-time high.
Oh. So I guess we can talk about... I guess I'll ask you.
Okay.
I know you had expectations, as I did. Did you like the movie?
I did like the movie. I did like the movie. Few things in there that were kind of confusing. Some shocking things. But I did like the movie. I did. I liked the movie. It was not in my view a bad movie.
Okay.
That's I'll say that.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I came out of that movie happy. I came out of the movie having fun. It was I think it's a movie that similar to like the Marvels, how people just crapped all over that before they ever saw it. And if you talk to most people who see that movie, they enjoy it.
Right.
And this one, I like Dakota Johnson a lot. Okay. And so I was already preconceived to like the movie.
Okay.
But I love Spider-Man. I love the spider world. And I like when they do something a little different. I enjoyed Morbius. I liked what they tried with the first Venom.
Okay.
You know, I'm interested to see what they're going to do with Kraven, which we'll talk about later. But, like, you know, no other superhero has their villains in their own movies. You know, the Joker has one movie in Batman.
I see what you're saying.
The Joaquin Phoenix version of Joker in a different universe than, like, the Nolanverse or whatever. But... you know, Superman, Doomsday doesn't have his own movie for Superman. Lex Luthor doesn't have his own movie for Superman, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you talk about, like, the X-Men, right?
Right.
Like, Magneto doesn't have his own movie.
Right, even though that would be super dope.
That would be amazing. So whether or not these are good movies or Sony's making a mistake or people just shit all over it...
Mm-hmm.
These villains, or at least the characters, have enough to them that they're being put into movies, and I like that.
Okay.
You know, they're not trying to rewrite these characters to make everyone like likable.
Mm-hmm.
But they're, you know, if they're going to set up a Sinister Six down the line, you're getting all the villains their own movie, so that when they go against Spider-Man, you already know who they are.
Right. I can get behind that. I can get behind that. It was definitely something new. It was really, really new, really fresh. And it was just some shocking stuff in there. What I took away more than anything was, wow. I was just shocked, surprised with some of the avenues they went down.
Such as,
well, okay. So, Madam Web, man, first of all. Okay, she's extremely powerful.
Yes.
Like, in my opinion, she might be a little too powerful.
Okay.
Okay? Because she can do the whole, everywhere at once thing.
Yes.
Okay? And just in my opinion, when it comes to like superpowers and stuff like that, the time powers are like trump cards for like pretty much any and everything. You know what I mean? And that's what she has. She has the power to see the future and, like, what would you call that? Is she projecting herself into like the future? Is that why she can be everywhere at one time?
Yeah, because you can call it astral projecting.
Astral projecting. Mm-hmm. Astral projection, yeah. It's along the lines of that. But man, like when they showed her do it for the first time, it was just like, whoa, that was crazy. Yeah. I didn't expect that.
No.
I did not expect that.
Three at once.
Yeah. I thought it was just, you know, future sight. I didn't think she would actually be able to, do anything with it. Not like that, at least. You know what I'm saying? That was just crazy to me. I couldn't believe that she was that powerful. And, you know, well, I ain't trying to get too ahead of us, but the leader of the Las Aranas,
mm-hmm.
he said that she was way more powerful than she could ever imagine.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So I'm assuming that she's even more powerful than they've showed.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because this is just the beginning of her story or powers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she might be able to manipulate. Well, they did show her go into the past and...
And talk to her mother. How did she do that? My goodness, I forgot about that.
And hug her and tell her it's okay.
Right.
So did her mother... So let's assume this happened mm-hmm. in 1973.
Okay.
Right? Her mother's at the doctor or whatever. And in that moment, does she have a vision?
Right.
Does she have a dream later on where she's talking to... older, you know, right. Cassandra saying it's okay if you go to the Amazon.
Right.
And does that make her go to the Amazon?
And how would the mom know? Because Cassie never said, hey, mom, it's me. You know, she just hugged her and like showed the emotion. How does she know that was Cassie? How does she know who that was?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So. So that's interesting. And not to mention, okay, just while I'm going on the lines of like what they can do, the other three girls, okay, one of them, the spider web she was using was like light based. You remember that? Like it was like the spider web she was using, they were like glowing.
Mm.
And I don't know what's up with that, but that's definitely something new. Like one of her, like I think it was it the Hispanic Spider-Man? It was either or Spider-Woman. It was either the Hispanic girl or the girl with the schoolgirl outfit, glasses on. One of them, their spider web is made of something different. Like some kind of light, some kind of energy, something like that.
I think it's the Hispanic one because glasses, she came down from the ceiling in the black spider suit.
Yeah.
So, and the Hispanic one is like the science nerd math girl.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe her power was like, she can manipulate matter and energy because she's so smart.
Okay. Maybe. Okay.
Now, the reason why we're kind of asking a lot of these questions is because they just showed those three girls briefly in their spider outfits or spider powers. So, I guess I'm going to pose this. Do you think it was not enough of all the girls in their spider suits? Like, could that have been the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Or if it was just going to be 5 minutes, do we need it at all?
Yeah. Okay. So, first of all, I'm going to answer the second part of that question. We didn't need it. Okay. We didn't need it. Because it was like a more of an origin thing, and they literally, the girls didn't have any powers.
Right.
They weren't that effective in like combat and stuff.
They were awful.
You know what I mean? They were like super bad.
It was literally their first time, probably.
They were like damsels in distress.
Yes.
Okay, so we didn't need that. But looking back at it, they should have went full on. They should have showed those girls get the powers. They should have showed them in costume. That's what I feel like they should have done.
Let's say make the movie about Julia Cornwall, glasses. Mm. Make her the leader of the group, and Cassandra, Madam Web, is sort of like, you know, their mentor.
Right.
And they could still go up against the dude that was trying to kill them.
Right.
So, you know, is this a Spider-Man movie even without Spider-Man or mm-hmm. even Spider-Women?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like...
I mean, because no one shot a web.
Right.
Even the bad Spider-Man didn't shoot a web.
Correct.
So...
He used the walking ability,
mm-hmm.
ceiling guy.
Mm-hmm.
He had super strength.
Yep. And he was agile. Yes. You know what I mean? He was quick yes. and agile like Spider-Man. But
yep.
nobody shot any webs. I'm trying to think, like, really hard of if there was, like, any Spider-Sense thing in there. They mentioned the Spider-Sense when she was talking about... they even are rumored to have a sixth sense. And it'll... Or whatever she said that, you know, kind of... So they did hint on the Spider-Sense thing.
Okay.
But... They didn't emphasize it, like, at all. If they put it in any of the scenes, it was really subtle.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Madame Web, you know, it was some stuff that went on that you could call spider sense, but it was more so her future,
right.
You know, telling ability.
Yeah, I mean, because if you take the spider-ness, the Spider-Women,
mm-hmm.
if you take that part of the girl's storyline...
Mm-hmm. It's just regular girls.
It's just, it's literally a clairvoyant or a medium
mm-hmm.
trying to save three girls from a stalker or a killer.
Pretty much.
So it's just a thriller action movie that just happens to maybe be part of a superhero universe.
Pretty much. Like, put it like this. Like, if I didn't know this was connected to Spider-Man and I wouldn't saw it, I would have never known this was connected to Spider-Man.
Right.
As I honestly feel, like from start to finish, like if I didn't know who Ben Parker was and, you know, all that other good stuff,
uh-huh.
you would have never known this was connected to Spider-Man because none of them shot any webs. Yeah, that guy looked like Spider-Man in a suit.
Right.
You know what I mean? But he didn't shoot any webs.
Right. And it was an inverted color. It was a darker right. suit.
He didn't, you know.
And they never name Peter Parker at all.
Never name Peter Parker. What else? this Las Aranas group, yes. first time hearing about those right. guys. Now, they were dope, though. They were super cool. I liked the Las Aranas, like the Spider-Man in the jungle type thing.
Yep.
That was super cool. But, I you know, I never heard of them, ever.
No. I'm not the most, you know, I don't read every single Spider-Man book there is, but uh-huh. I can tell you, I never heard of those.
Yeah. So that might be like an original thing.
Could be.
You know,
it's cool.
It was.
It's different.
That was a dope. That was a dope. Dope take on some evil Spider-Man. They weren't evil though.
No.
You know.
They were just the spider people.
Yeah. Spider people in the jungle.
That you know, are giving powers.
Right.
To people.
Right.
And cursing people.
Right. Oh man. So where do we go next?
So, Let's talk about you mentioned about her visions and how that kind of worked. One of my things that I liked about this movie is how they edited her visions, the action, and the tense buildup of these moments where, I mean, it's an action movie where most of all the action happened in the visions.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff was intense.
It was.
And I'm like, there are times where I'm like, oh, man, like, dude, is this one real?
Right. It was. The vision, the time whimy trick thing that they were playing in the movie, that was really cool.
Yeah.
That was probably the one of the shining spots of the movies. Because you couldn't tell at all. There were like no cuts. It just, you know, she's going about her life, something happens, she keeps going about her life, and then all of a sudden it doubles back on itself.
Right.
You know what I mean? That was dope. That was super dope. So I did like the vision tension thing.
This movie is set in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I really dug about it is we are a couple years removed from 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriot Act has been signed. So NSA's surveillance and facial recognition and those type of ways of finding people mm-hmm. are starting to like become a thing in this world. And Ezekiel uses that to find the three girls during the film. And, you know, there's even a mention when they're driving away in the stolen taxi to toss your cell phone because, hey, they can track those things.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, all of what, you know, 20 years later, we don't think anything about it because that's just how the world is. But back then, that was all sort of new technology.
Right. That makes you think about what's to come.
Yeah.
You know? Because that was crazy. It was really cool to see, like, this is brand new tech. You know, this is nobody has this.
Right.
But, you know, outside of the movie in the real world, it's like, dude, that's facial, you know. We got that on our phones, you know, the Face ID thing.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Right. So that was super dope. It really was. To be like, wow, that's crazy. It's just crazy. That's just crazy right there. That was just crazy. That was some crazy stuff to put in the movie. And it really worked. It worked really well.
So this movie is set in 2003. Mm-hmm. And Peter Parker is born at the end of this film. And if we look at when we meet Peter Parker, Tom Holland's Peter Parker, in the MCU, and we do our math, this baby that's born in this movie is most likely the Tom Holland version of Spider-Man. Now, they never said it.
Okay.
They did not say it.
Okay.
But if you go 2003 to I think when he shows up in his first movie in the MCU is like 2016 or 17.
Okay.
I can look it up.
Hold on. One second. This one's gonna take 5 seconds for us to see when this movie came out.
That's in the back. That's in the back. Yep. But I'm just. And also, the reason why I also think that's also the Tom Holland movie connection. Oh, I think it's a little before that. The boys that are in the diner, which we're going to get to that scene.
Okay, is Homecoming the first one?
I thought he showed up in Civil War.
Civil War. So that would be 2016.
Okay.
Yep.
So he'd be... He'd be 13. I don't think he'd be that young.
Well, no. That'd be about right. Spider-Man is anywhere between... Yeah, he's like a freshman in high school, dude.
So. And by the time we see him in the last one with Doctor Strange...
That would be Far From Home?
I believe it's Far From Home.
No Way Home. Yeah, Far From Home would be... The last one.
we're doing a little. We got a magazine.
yes, that would be. Yeah, because you got Far From Home, which was 2021. No Way Home. I mean,
No Way Home.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's it. So
Far From Home was the second one.
So No Way Home,
what, almost 20 years minus 3, minus 2?
Yeah.
So he'd be 18.
Yeah, so he'd be a senior, which he does finish, because he finishes school and then...
Then he goes off to be a big boy.
Yeah. And Zendaya forgets him.
Yep.
And,
so that is, you're right about that, man. Like, you're spot on.
So I'm, you know...
You're spot on.
Because if we're ever going to watch this movie again, or if there's any reason to even care about this movie, I think it ties into the Tom Holland verse.
Yeah.
And the boys at the diner, they were wearing Midtown High basketball jerseys.
Oh, wow.
Which is Tom Holland's Spider-Man high school.
Didn't realize that.
So, you know, just a little, again, a little Easter. They dropped a lot of spider eggs all throughout this movie. Mm. And that's one of those little things where it's like, it could be connected this way.
I would say you are spot on. Because, he'd be about 13, 14. Spider-Man usually becomes Spider-Man when he's about a freshman. Yep. Freshman, sophomore year. Everybody does it a little different.
Yep.
But he's usually, around that age. Sure is. That's supposed to be the whole thing about Spider-Man. When he's, like, young, like, he's a little boy, he can live in a fucking tanker. So
one of the biggest complaints I got about that I see and hear about this movie is the really some people consider the dialogue awful.
The dialogue.
Yeah. Like some of the I can't. So I'm not a big meme person, but like I know memes. There's memes out there about like, I think there was a quote in the trailer like, "Yeah, my mom went to the Amazon and died looking up spiders before I was born." You know, something like crazy. I paraphrase, but it's something like that. And people like roasted it online.
Well, I didn't remember that line.
But it got cut from the movie.
Okay.
It was in the trailer, but it got cut from the movie.
Oh, wow.
And then there's a scene where Cassie is looking at her mom in the past, talking about her neurological disorder. And she's like, "I don't have neuro-something-something disorder." Mm. And people are just like dying about that because, you know, it's... I think a lot of people don't like Dakota Johnson's delivery, just in general, the way she acts.
Okay.
She's very... Some people call her boring. And so, despite potentially those pitfalls, I do like Cassie's overall story arc in this film.
I do, too. And I didn't think Dakota Johnson was boring. I didn't think she was boring. She did her part.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
It's somebody, you know, her power is her mind. Her power is, you know, and I don't think she's boring. I think she's really interesting. Like, a lot of her films she does, you know, she picks really interesting scripts. And I know the listener is probably screaming, "Well, 50 Shades of Grey sucked." Well, maybe it did. Mm-hmm. But they were given a very edited version of what the book was. Mm-hmm. So they could only do what they were given.
Right. You can't put a 40-hour movie out.
Exactly. And there are confirmed, I guess they're rumors. They're confirmed. They're not rumors. There are confirmed points that this movie went through multiple editing processes. Okay. Like the scripts were rewritten like 4 times.
Really?
What was the finished product on the screen that we saw, mm-hmm, was way different than what people had kind of signed up for.
Really?
So there are a lot of issues in this movie that people might nitpick at, and maybe we'll discuss too. But the studio put out a movie that I don't think the actors thought they made.
Really? The actors didn't think they made it.
Yeah, Dakota's been on the press tour saying that she doesn't know what, you know, this isn't the movie she made.
Really?
I don't know what's out there right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's been some back and forth between the actors. And in the future, or if people have seen this movie and said, "Oh, Dakota's awful," or "the script is awful," or, you know, "the story doesn't make sense," or whatever, I think that it's not in the actor's hands. I think it's not even in the director's hands.
Right.
The director shoots a ton of film.
Right.
And it comes down to the editing process, which we did praise. Mm-hmm. The action sequences are excellent. Mm-hmm. But the overall 2 hours of this film might have been completely different than what they thought they shot.
Now, that's interesting, man. That's interesting. Wow. I didn't know anything about that. That is in... Wow. So the Dakota Johnson is saying that she doesn't recognize the movie.
Right.
Wow. I don't see how that happens, man. How does, like, that happen?
You know, like in simplest terms, mm-hmm, there were things she shot. There were things they shot. Mm-hmm. Dialogue that was said. You know, sequences that were done, mm-hmm, that were either edited, miscut, differently cut, or completely put out.
Wow. Okay. Well, then there's that. Well.
And so what? So I guess what I'm trying to bring up because there are reasons that I think people will go into this film to not like it right away. Mm-hmm. But if they go into it hopefully with an open mind, and are disappointed. Mm-hmm. I think there are reasons, like, what they get back on the screen, mm-hmm, might not... Like, we have questions. We had questions already in the show, mm-hmm, and we're going to have questions on the next couple of things we bring up, mm-hmm, because things just didn't make sense.
Right. But this is my question, though. How are people, like you and I, how do we know what was originally supposed to be in the movie? I mean, would people outside of the production know that? How would someone outside of the production know that?
It was, so those questions were brought up, you know, in the interviews and the press tours, mm-hmm, and there are, I don't want to say report, but you know, people like TMZ and people like those type of websites that know somebody in the production or know somebody that will leak this type of information.
Okay.
And then it comes out, and then you know, if you follow the right Twitter account, right. you might see it.
That's interesting, man.
But also, I thought. So this is, okay, this is why I also bring it up. Because we talked about, what if this movie was just the three girls fighting the bad guy? And so, like, maybe there was more of that in there. Because, I mean, look, you saw the suits for, like, 5 minutes.
There was a huge action scene where they were, like, fighting the bad guy, like, on a building.
Right.
You know, they were in action at some point in time. Yeah.
So, like...
For sure.
So, like, some of this stuff was shot, and, you know, it takes money and time and all that to put that together. Like... Maybe that's, you know, we're missing chunks of the movie because they wanted to just focus on Madam Web, being that it's her origin story.
Right.
But then it gets too bogged down with so many characters.
Right. Okay. Well, that's something to think about, man. It really is. And honestly, if that is the case, that they cut out a lot of stuff, didn't put a lot of stuff in, then it gives me hope for the future. Because that means there's a lot of action to come. Or maybe not, because the bad guy's dead now.
Yes.
So, you know, are they done? You know, is this one-hit wonder?
I mean, that remains to be seen. I don't... This movie didn't do well at the box office in the opening weekend.
Okay.
Opening week... So the movie cost $80 million to make.
Okay.
In opening weekend, they opened up on Valentine's Day, which was a Wednesday in 2024. Mm-hmm. And the weekend box office also included President's Day because people had off.
Okay.
So, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. That's 6 days.
Okay.
It made $26 million.
Oh, man.
It finished second in the box office behind the Bob Marley movie.
Okay.
And most movies don't... gain money in the second and third weeks. I mean, when we saw it, there was probably maybe 20 people in the theater when we went. So I think unless there's a massive surge of people wanting to see this movie, I don't know if Sony makes a sequel.
Well,
but it wouldn't see a sequel. It wouldn't be Madam Web 2. I think it would be like, you know, Spider-Woman or something.
Right. Right.
And then she would be in the background.
Right.
Madam Web would be in the background.
Background, right.
And there would be new villains to come.
Well, first of all, more people got to go see the movies for themselves.
Yes.
You know, you can't just let, you know, the people you watch on YouTube, the reviews, even us. You can't let us tell you what to think about a movie. Right. You need to see it on your own, have your own thoughts, and then... Even, or you can watch reviews before or after, you can do them both. But in my opinion, what you should come to reviews looking for is a compare and contrast. Okay, what do these guys think compared to what I think? Or what do these guys think compared to what those guys think? Mm-hmm. You know, you shouldn't be trying to take our opinions or someone else's opinions as your own. And that's the problem with the online critical culture. They give people they're giving people their opinions. Nobody is making their own opinion. They're taking other people's opinions, mm-hmm. which may not be right. Their opinions.
Right.
You might feel completely different. Half the time I do. I see people say movies suck all the time. I go to the movie theater, I love them. And vice versa.
Right.
You know, so.
Like, dude, I watched... Here's the big thing. do you like the first Predator movie?
You talking about...
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Way back then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I watched it last year.
Okay.
I thought it was awful.
Really?
I did.
Now that is funny, dude. Oh man, yes, I like the first Predator movie. Oh, that is funny though, man. Because I can see that.
Yeah,
I can see that.
It was slow. It was boring.
Uh-huh.
I thought that now the way that I'm not you know, 6-7 Predators later, I get it. Right. I get the idea. I get the franchise. I get it.
Right.
That first movie, awful. Like, I can't, like, I struggled to finish it. And then when, like, the last 20 minutes of, like, the action sequences, and the damn thing is invisible.
Yeah.
And Arnold's, screw this movie. And that's what we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, you might love this movie.
Right.
You might love Predator.
Right.
Great. I'm glad. I gave it a shot. Not for me.
Didn't like it.
But I did watch Prey a couple years ago on Hulu when that came out. It's a freaking banger.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Prey is so damn good.
So, and, you know, we've talked about this topic of the cancel criticism culture online in the Marvel's podcast, and we're talking about this. Now, this movie isn't like the best thing we've ever seen, but it's not like the Thor movies, which are awful.
Those are all-time bad. Ooh. That is almost like Meg-level bad. Like, seriously. And it's crazy because they both deal with water. I don't know. You know? Like, maybe it's hard to make movies that are based underwater.
That is a great point. So,
okay.
Back in the pandemic, when we had nothing but time, I decided to watch every James Bond movie.
Okay.
I'd only seen about 2 in my lifetime. Okay. And I'm like, what the hell? There's like 30 Bond movies or something. There's like 26 Bond movies or something.
Right.
Anyway, in the like the 60s and 70s, there's a lot of the movies that are underwater. And it's just like, I don't know what it is visually, but like, it is so boring to watch somebody underwater and like in a fight sequence.
Right.
When they're just like,
all slow.
All slow. It's like, this is awful.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about the Meg. We're talking about Aquaman. And yeah, I mean, Aquaman didn't, he wasn't underwater the whole time.
Right.
But when it was like, this is awful.
Yeah, it dragged on, man.
And you can listen to our review of Aquaman 2. Mm-hmm. It is in the archives. And, you know, we destroy that movie.
Oh, yeah.
So, getting back to Madam Web, one of the biggest questions that we both had coming out of the theater, as well as my wife who saw it, was how the heck did Cassandra Webb get paralyzed?
Oh my goodness.
And end up in the wheelchair in the final scene? Because I don't know if it's editing. I don't know if maybe we fell asleep. I don't know if they just didn't show it. But all of a sudden, she's paralyzed.
She's paralyzed.
She gets a firework blown up in her face underwater, which causes the blindness. Fine, I can buy that. But I don't remember how she got paralyzed.
I do not.
Did the Pepsi sign fall on her? You had a good option as well.
Yeah. I thought because the
Ezekiel,
he has like poison touch, you know. So he touches people and he like injects like this venom inside you, and it's like a neurotoxin, so it does paralyze you. And but the thing is, you know, earlier in the movie they said, you know, it depends how bad it gets, depends on how long he's touching you. So he only touched her for a quick second, you know? Right. And there was dialogue in the movie where someone, I forget who it was, told Dakota Johnson, like, hey, you know, you're lucky he wasn't touching you for that long because it could have got a lot of worse. You know, he only, you know, touched her for a second and it was like only on her hand the entire time. It never spread, like,
right.
It never spread, like, you know what I mean? And so that's what I was thinking. Like, did the venom do that? Like, over time, did it get worse? You know, bad, like you said, bad editing, bad cutting. They didn't show that. But, no, seriously, man. Like, one scene, she was, you know, walking. And the next scene, she was blind and paralyzed. I almost thought she was, like, done for.
Right.
Like, I'm like, what is going on? Like, I just...
And then during that scene, or I guess in the next part of that scene, we have the girls giving her the CPR.
Yeah.
And that is another criticism I see online of how unnecessarily bad she was at CPR.
Which one?
Dakota Johnson. In the first scene where she's given CPR, they're like, people are like, she doesn't stop because she keeps going on this guy's chest for like 5 minutes.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do. That's like literally how you give CPR. You don't stop. Like, oh my goodness.
And when she's in the hotel training the girls, she's like, in case of cardiac arrest, you know, keep going.
Right.
And it's just a criticism that just people kind of take one blurb and just roll.
God, people take that too far, man. See, that's ridiculous, man. That's ridiculous. You see, like, when people do things like that, it makes me lean towards, okay, this movie is actually, it's pretty decent, because people are nitpicking the smallest thing. How she gave CPR,
yeah,
and the dialogue, like, come on. What was wrong with the dialogue? I just don't get that at all. What was wrong with the dialogue? I don't get that. I don't even know how you could criticize. Like, what do you want them to say? That's what I'm thinking, you know?
One of the things that they did criticize about dialogue was in the Las Arañas scene when he tells Cassie, when you accept your responsibility, you'll have great power.
Okay.
And a lot of people are like, no. That's not what Uncle Ben says.
Oh, well, he's not Uncle Ben. Yeah, well, great power comes great responsibility. He's not Uncle Ben, and she's not Spider-Man. Why would they use that line?
Because it's a Spider-Man movie. Goodness. And don't you know what to say?
Oh, Lord. That's horrible, man. That's really bad. That is. That's really bad. No. No. Nope. I'm not behind that, man. No, I would have felt like, okay, that they shouldn't have done that, because she's not Spider-Man and he's not Ben Parker.
Exactly. And in her story arc, once she decided to take responsibility for the girls, her power grew exponentially.
Yes.
And it made sense if you were paying attention.
Right. And not just trying to nitpick at the silliest
stuff. And just wait for Tobey Maguire.
Yeah. What in the hell, dude? Now, that's bad, man. That's bad critique.
Yes.
It really is.
Yeah.
That's bad critique. And, you know, I'm sorry to say this, but if you guys are listening to people who are giving those type of critiques, that's bad. That's bad criticism. It really is.
Yeah. It's not constructive
criticism. Yeah. It's not, man. Yeah, it's not. Well, That's just nitpicking because you can. You know?
Right.
You know?
One thing that did raise eyebrows was there was a diner scene where the girls go to have some food and make stupid decisions. Mm-hmm. And one of those decisions is deciding to get up on a table and dance like hoochies to Britney Spears' Toxic in front of the basketball team. And So, my wife, you know, we're talking about it, and she goes, you know, those girls were just dumb. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just a dumb thing to do. It's stupid. Like, why would you? First of all,
make believe.
Right. First of all, you have a serial killer chasing you, and you don't want your face to be recognized, but yet you're going to do this. And, and then, because glasses is like, should we do it?
Right.
And like, and she, you know, and then the other chick is like, well, yeah. And then they change her shirt so she can, you can see her midriff, glasses is midriff. Yeah. And she's like, that's not my style. I mean, it just, a woman watching it, she was like, these chicks are so stupid. Yeah. Like, why would you do that?
Cringy.
And then Jeremiah pointed out.
Yeah, I felt like it was ridiculous. Like, I didn't get any of that stuff that your wife said, you know. And neither did you, you know, because we're not women.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Which is why it's really cool to have, like, a woman's opinion on some of these things.
Yep.
But what I thought was like, okay, that's ridiculous. Okay, the schoolgirl, she has a skirt on. She has a skirt on, okay? Now, the guys are sitting at the table.
Yep.
She stands, so you got a clear view right up this chick's skirt. And she just up there, you know, dancing. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. that's you know, make believe. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's, yeah, that ain't happening, man. That ain't happening. I mean, sure, some girls, you know, they live on the wild side.
Yep.
You know, and it does happen. Yep. But those women know what they're doing when they do that.
Right.
It came off that these girls were just up there having fun and, you know, we're relieving stress because this guy is hunting us, you know, and this girl completely forgets she's got a skirt on and she's on a table with a crowd of boys around her.
And the entire, up until that moment, she's the goody two shoes and, you know, just, you know, when she asks her friend, well, should we? And let's go.
Right. Yeah, that was ridiculous. That was ridiculous. So, yeah, I caught that. And I was like, when I saw that, I'm like, oh, come on. This is like every high school boy's dream.
Right. You know? Is that what people wanted to see? They just wanted to see the chicks?
Was it the marketing?
Yes. I mean, yeah, I do believe it was the marketing. Okay. Because...
So, wait, before you go any further. Uh-huh. So, I'll let you go after I ask you. Were they playing, were they selling sex? Now, there was no sex in the movie.
Right.
Right? But were they selling these women's sex appeal? Because they were all beautiful women.
Yep.
So were they selling the sex appeal?
I really do think so.
Okay.
If you were following any of their social media accounts leading up to the film, doing, you know, with the red carpets and the press junkets, it was... I mean, the stuff Dakota Johnson was wearing was, just smoking hot.
Okay.
You know, Sydney Sweeney, who played, you know, Glasses, you know, her breasts are just out in her dresses. The other two ladies are just, you know, showing off their goods. It's like, and Sydney Sweeney has, you know, gained a lot of sexual following because of her stuff in Euphoria and White Lotus. Like, she's a very promiscuous character.
Okay.
So... I think when they saw her in this film, I think a lot of people thought we were going to see, you know, a little TNA and it's going to be hot. And we got Dakota Johnson, who's you know, she's done hot stuff before.
Okay.
Let's go. And so I think the marketing was trying to bring people in, and let's say they did.
Mm-hmm.
And then those people were disappointed that they didn't get the sexual stuff. And maybe that's what also leads to negative reviews.
100%. That is 100% true. Now, I got another question to throw in there with you.
Okay.
Okay. Now, did they intentionally sell the sex appeal? Or, like in examples of different movies, let's take one owned by Disney, the Marvels.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was Sony selling the sex appeal? Or does Disney... just have a hard cut on no sex appeal at all? Is it... Okay, so basically what I'm asking you is, was Sony intentionally selling the sex appeal? Or were they just going about a normal marketing? These women are hot. They can wear whatever they want to wear. We don't care. And is Disney the ones who are like, hey, you can't show your boobs. You can't show this. You can't show that.
I think I'm going to answer yes to both.
Okay.
Because Disney, they are a publicly traded company. They're a family company.
Mm-hmm.
I think you and I were both shocked at how much Brie Larson's chest was just massively, accentuated in that film.
Right.
Like they were just they were their own characters.
Right. Oh, that's funny, dude.
You know, but. They weren't selling that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember seeing that in any of the trailers.
No, sir.
Kamala Khan is technically in high school, so you know, even though she is a pretty young lady, they weren't going to sex her out in this movie,
right?
So, yes, Disney has a hard cut, but they can push things.
Okay,
you know, I mean, look at their Disney princesses over the years. I mean, if those were real women,
right?
You know, or you see the cosplayers that play it, like those chicks, you know.
They've got
Princess Jasmine, come on.
Right, they've gotten increasingly more attractive.
Yeah.
And, you know, yep, 100%.
And the other part of the question of did Sony, I think Sony tried to push their sex appeal without pigeonholing that they're going to look like this.
Right.
They're going to let these women dress how they want.
Right.
And, you know, because, you know, women power.
Right.
But just so you know.
Right.
These chicks are hot underneath.
Right. Now check this out. Okay. Which approach is right? Okay. Because this is the thing. There's a huge problem with the MCU.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. Owned by Disney. Women, 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 women power. They're replacing all of the strong married characters, the strong male characters with strong female characters, right?
Right.
Women power. Now, is which one actually is for women power? Is it the company who said, hey man, you know, we respect you. You can do whatever you want. Dress whatever you want. We're behind you. Or is it the company who says, hey, you can't do that, you know? Which side do you fall on? I'll tell you which side I fall on first. I fall on Sony's side, okay?
Okay.
Now, if it's really about woman empowerment and yada, 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 then let her do what she wants, you know? Who cares, you know, what anyone else thinks of her?
Right.
You know? You're behind her. You hired her. You wanted her to do the job. She did it for you, you know? Disney, on the other hand, I feel like it comes off as ingenuine with Disney. They try to push the woman empowerment narrative, but really, I feel like it's just a marketing tool they use to get more people. Instead of actually believing that, I think they're just marketing women and women power. That's how I feel about it.
I agree with both sentiments. I think in that question, I would take the Sony side to that.
Okay.
Because you have four strong women in this film, mm-hmm. that you know, you have somebody who is
they're women. They're hot. Okay, women are hot. Generally.
Yes.
Okay? I just want to say that. Like, yeah, cuz we've talked before, right. about this. Like, no, and I'm sorry. It's going to come off this way, but no one wants to see an uggo on the screen.
Right.
That's just how it is.
That
is. Okay,
that doesn't sell.
That yeah. Doesn't sell. that doesn't sell anybody.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know, there's a reason why Kat Dennings is not Lady mm-hmm. Thor.
Exactly.
You know? But... So I there's like three parts to this answer.
Okay.
One, I agree with your Sony statement and your Disney statement. Two, I do like the fact that Sony gave these three women enough story mm-hmm. to make them, you want to cheer for them to become better. They were fostered. They were abandoned. Their parents don't love them enough, mm-hmm. or their parent was deported. Mm-hmm. So they are literally on their own, making their way in this world. Then they're in this extraordinary situation and decide to come together
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, succeed or whatever, or become superheroes. There was a female character in the Morbius movie that I thought, you know, they gave, she was smart. Morbius's girlfriend or wife.
I'm having trouble remembering.
Doesn't matter. Okay. But I mean, the way they presented these characters, and even Michelle Williams and Venom, mm-hmm. were all independently smart and strong women who were put into extraordinary situations.
Okay.
Disney, and we're talking about the MCU,
mm-hmm.
I'll step back and say, growing up reading comic books, mm-hmm. it was always male characters. Now, some of the best female characters that I liked was Catwoman, Black Cat, Sue Storm. Mm.
Jean Grey.
Jean Grey, Batgirl. Mm. Excuse me. So all those characters, though, had enough backstory that made their story and made their personality, like, really cool to read and follow. And yes, they were drawn, you know, sexy or whatever. But pushing... And comic books in the last, I would say, 10 to 15 years have pushed the female narrative out there.
Okay.
Lady Thor, the female Iron Man, the She-Hulk.
Even the female Hawkeye.
Female Hawkeye, the female spider people. Mm-hmm. The publishers try to push it out there, and it doesn't sell well.
It doesn't sell.
Maddie Franklin, the black chick, mm-hmm. she was Spider-Woman, the third Spider-Woman. Mm-hmm. She was killed twice in the comics.
Oh, wow.
Kraven killed her once, and then her clone came back and was killed again.
Oh, wow.
So, like, I mean, the women don't... Jane, in Thor, the Natalie Portman character, when she becomes... Jane Foster. When she becomes Thor in the comic books, mm-hmm. I remember literally buying it because that was going to be the next movie. Mm. Beth read it. She was like, this is awful. Because she's like, the character has, like, I think brain cancer or something. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, does the hammer save her? Why does she get the powers? Right. Like, it just... She didn't care to read it.
Right.
Whereas, like, the movie Thor...
Right.
Or the Thor comics from the 70s and 80s was something that she read and I read because it was interesting.
Right.
And so, it's a long way to say the publishers pushed it on us and it failed. Mm-hmm. Disney is pushing it on us and it's failing.
Right.
I mean, yeah, we like the Marvels. Mm-hmm. I thought the new Hawkeye series was good. Mm-hmm. I love Florence Pugh as the new Black Widow. However, Black Widow, the Marvels, She-Hulk, Ms. Marvel, the show, all of them have been failures when it comes to viewership and money.
Wow.
And now we have another female-based movie in Marvel that is failing in the box office. It's failing with critics. And it's just going to be pushed to the back. And it'll be forgettable. So, you know, the new Black Panther that just came out. T'Challa, you know, T'Challa dies. Mm-hmm. What happens? They give it to his sister. Was that the right choice? I don't know, but that movie was boring as hell.
Right. And I'll answer that question for you. It was not the right choice. You do not do things like that, okay? Now, when it comes to something like that, it should have obviously, if anybody... Especially a female character should have took on the mantle as a Black Panther. It should have been the warrior chick. Okay? Okay? Not his tech backup sister. That is just... No. They set her up from the jump as a... She was the... what do they call it? Crap. The chair guy.
Yeah.
You know, she's who the guy in the field is calling to say, hey, right. You know, where's she's, this, you know,
right.
I need support.
She's the tech guy.
Yeah. She's not the frontline superhero. No. Absolutely not. They should not have done that. And I don't see how, and that's how you know when it's something that, like, stand out, like that's like a, for sure, anybody who knows their, who's worth their salt looks at that and like, okay, this is so wrong. You know what I mean?
Right.
So how do you do that as a producer, you know, of this kind of content? There's no way that you don't understand what you're doing, is what I'm saying. I don't give them any slack in saying, well, maybe they try to do it. No chance. There's no way you do that without thinking, is there a better character? This is that, like, that was... All of these guys who sit in the room, that was the best choice they came up with? No way. Not when that freaking warrior chick is like super badass, like the way she is.
Yep.
Like she could, when T'Challa was alive, okay, she almost was like on par with a superpower T'Challa, you know?
Yep.
Like, why would you pick her sister? His sister, I mean. When you got this, like, this badass female character right here, a genuine badass female character that people like. People like that warrior chick, you know? But hey, man, I don't know. I don't know.
So we've talked a lot about the movie and what we like, what we didn't like. How would you rate Madam Web out of 10?
Oh, jeez. Oh, gotta put my critic cap on. Okay. Well, I'm a huge Spider-Man fan, through and through. I love me some Spidey, man. I know quite a bit about Spider-Man. This movie really threw me for a loop. I've never heard of Madame Web before. Especially the three women she was with.
Uh-huh.
Don't know anything about them.
Yeah.
But, you know, for what it was, you know, I kind of give them credit and knock them at the same time for no one shooting any webs. No spiders tingling. My spider sense is tingling. There was none of that going on. So I kind of give them credit and I kind of discredit them at the same time. I give them credit because it made it like an original thing. Like they made it clear that, hey, this isn't Spider-Man. Okay? It's based in the Spider-Man universe. These people are connected to Spider-Man, but they are not Spider-Man. I love that because I hate it when they jumble and, you know, muddy the water like that.
Right.
You know, keep it, it's a clear distinction between Spider-Man and these guys. So I like that. At the same time, though, okay, what is exactly going on here? Okay? Why aren't they shooting webs? Yada and yada and yay. But with that being said, I'm going to settle on, I think anywhere between 6 and 7 is fair.
Okay.
6 and 7 is fair, I think. It's a few plot points in there they could work on. And, you know, they could have at least told us who the three girls Madame Web was protecting.
Right.
Could at least told us who they were.
Who they become.
Yeah, who they become. You know, some kind of Easter egg, you know.
Yes.
That would have really helped. But I'm a settle on, let's say 6.5 then.
Okay.
6.5.
That's pretty good. I mean, that's a recommend.
Okay.
I also recommend this film.
Okay.
I like the idea of them doing something different, that it's not a Spider-Man movie. It's a Spider-Verse movie. I thought it was really good as far as the editing and, you know, the buildup of the tension.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought the girls, honestly, because it's really a Dakota Johnson movie.
Right.
But the three girls, I thought the scenes they were in was really good. They did the best they could, and they did really good.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see more. I want to see more of them.
Mm-hmm.
Dakota did fine. I thought the villain was interesting. The villain was interesting. Man, there's so many questions. Like, how did he get his powers?
Right.
Like, he stole the spider in the beginning of the film. Are we to assume that the spider bit him?
Or did he let the spider bite him?
Right.
There's lots to that. There's a lot. How did he know that they would eventually get powers, okay? Now, of course, he was supposed to be cursed, but they didn't expand at all on that.
Right. So, might be on the editing room floor.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I still enjoyed myself. Had a good time with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I would give it, you said between a 6 and 7, and mm-hmm. I was kind of waffling in that era.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm going to go with a 7.
Okay.
Just because I don't like going halvesies.
Okay.
Because, and that's what I gave on my letterbox. So uh-huh. I was like, it's a 7.
Okay.
Because it, you know, a 6 to me is like, eh.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, no, it wasn't that passable. I would watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this, you know, between the Marvels and this, what would you watch again? I would watch the Marvels again
mm-hmm.
first because I liked that movie a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
But I would also watch this as well because I bet I won't remember the glitches and the twists.
Right.
So, like, every time she goes through, like, a vision and there's tension, I won't remember.
100%. There was a lot of that, man. There's a lot of stuff in there, you know, that we're probably forgetting.
Right.
But, yeah, it was a lot of it in there. It was, yep.
So we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to continue with a little bit more. And we're back. So something that was actually pretty special about when we went to this movie is we went and saw it at the Ridge Cinema in New Berlin, Wisconsin. We live in Southeast Wisconsin. And in the Ridge, they have a special screen called Screen X. And Jeremiah, why don't you describe what Screen X is?
Okay, so Screen X is a, how many degrees?
270
degree view. So you got the traditional screen in front of you, but then the walls along the sides of you to your left and your right also have the movie on it. It's like a wraparound effect. If any of you have ever been to an IMAX theater, it's pretty much just like an IMAX theater without the roof having a movie on it.
Yeah.
But it was super cool. Super cool. It definitely added a level of immersion, which is what it promised, that it would add more immersion. And I got that for sure. For sure. It was just really cool, man. I liked it, man. I really did.
Yeah, it was really... it wasn't the entire film, but when there were action scenes or big set pieces, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, whether you were in the jungle... Or like the subway scenes, or even like I feel like the diner scene too, but the big finish at the fireworks factory. We sat in the top row and really probably got the best view, because when anything happened on side to side, you know, I'd almost watch the sides. Just to see the stuff that I'm never going to see again.
Right.
You know, like if I see it on a traditional screen. Like when she's on the bus. I mean, there's so much more happening around her that, you know, a traditional screen wouldn't see.
Yeah. I like the jungle scenes, man. Scenes, you were just looking like, whoa, that was nuts, man. That was so nuts.
So if you ever get a chance and you're looking for a different experience and you're in the New Berlin, Waukesha, West Dallas area, even in Milwaukee, it's not too far of a drive from Milwaukee. It's a great experience.
It is.
The seats are super comfortable, nice and plush, reclining, spacious. So just want to give props to the Screen X.
Yeah, and hopefully they add that to more Marcus theaters, because that was really dope, man. It really was. You know, hopefully... you know, if it does well, like a lot of people go see a lot of movies there, they'll put them in all the theaters.
I hope so.
Because, man, that definitely turned it up a notch or two. That was not like an average, let's go see a movie.
Right.
That, you know?
You were immersed in it.
Right, yeah.
And maybe that's, you know, maybe that's what helped us like the movie a little bit more.
Okay.
Because we felt like, I don't know, we were in the film.
Okay. Right. Maybe we saw it in a better light than, you know.
That's possible.
You know.
So, this is the fourth movie in the Sony Spider universe. You had Venom, Venom 2, Morbius, and now Madam Web. And later this year, we're getting two more Sony Spider universe movies, the SSU. We're getting Kraven the Hunter, which is supposed to be... I've heard different reports that it's supposed to be Memorial Weekend. But in the magazine that I was reading, it's got it August 30th, so right before Labor Day.
Of this year.
And then Venom 3 is coming to theaters. Tom Hardy is reprising his role. That's coming out in April.
Okay.
So we're getting those two movies in 2024.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on either of them?
Well... to be honest with you, man, I'm not convinced on the Kraven guy. Now, I'm sold on the Kraven solo movie. Kraven is a really cool character, and you can put a great movie together about this guy. But the guy they have playing Kraven, I'm not sold on him. He doesn't look badass enough. Not nearly badass enough. He looks kind of innocent and sweet, kind of choir boy, kind of like Kraven before he's a full-on bloodthirsty killer. That's what I'm getting from him. I don't know where the movie's going to pick up. I have seen the trailer. It looks like he's been trained by his father. You know, he looks young, like he's just getting started. He's just going on the hunt, is what they call it, the hunt. He's about to begin the hunt. And eventually he was going to hunt down everybody, you know. But that's what it looks like. But I'm not sold on that guy, man. He does not convince me as Kraven.
The actor that is playing Kraven, his name is Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Okay.
Probably may not seem familiar as far as his name, but he was Kick-Ass.
Okay.
Did you see that one?
Yes, with the green car. No. Is that Hornet? The car Hornet?
That's Green Hornet.
That's Green Hornet. Crap. Okay. No, Kick-Ass is with the
he's like the real life superhero. He like, you know, he's wearing a green suit.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Then. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Wow. I'm not sold on him, man.
But
sorry.
Yeah, he is a baby face. He's a very young looking guy. Mm. Even though he does have facial hair as Kraven.
Mm.
I don't see him as like a killer.
Yeah. Like, you gotta be, like, they should have gotten, like, I feel like, what's that one guy? You watch a movie of his every day.
Oh, Danny Trejo.
Danny Trejo. Like, Danny Trejo would be perfect as Kraven. Wouldn't he?
Yes, he would.
Be perfect as
Kraven. I believe that.
Yes. Because, like, that's like, oh, yeah. You know, but that dude, it's like, come on, man. You don't scare anybody. I don't know. Let's see where it goes. And then we got Venom 3.
Yep.
Okay. I have an issue with Venom.
Okay.
The whole Venom series. This Venom series.
Yep.
And the reason why I have an issue with this Venom series is because when they started this Venom series, there was no mention at all of Spider-Man. Okay? The Venom origin story can only be told one way, which is the Venom that the symbiote attaches itself to Peter. It detaches itself after Peter kicks it, and then attaches itself to who? Eddie Brock.
Yeah.
Okay? It does not just go from the alien rock to Eddie Brock. Okay? They completely writ Spider-Man out of that for whatever reason. I don't know the reason behind that. I don't know what the reason behind it could be. But they writ Spider-Man out of that. They wrote him out of that. I said writ. They wrote him. They completely wrote him out of that movie. And I don't like that, man. I don't like that. It just, the whole series just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, that's like almost a deal breaker for me, man.
Okay.
Now, the character Venom looks cool. And the guy who plays Eddie Brock.
Yeah, Tom Hardy.
Yep, he's good. I like him in the movies. But that storyline, man, I just can't get behind that. If they're going to do Venom 3, they have to put Spider-Man. They have to clash.
Do you think with Doctor Strange's splinter of the multiverse that we could see a Spider-Man show up in this movie?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. And to be all honest, man, Tom Holland, put it like this. If they were to do a Spider-Man movie with Tom Holland and he gets the symbiote, that would probably be the best-selling Spider-Man movie of all time.
Oh, he'd be so good.
He would be so good. He would be so good as a like symbiote-infected Spider-Man. And people, next to Tobey Maguire, I think Tom Holland is the most liked Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And people went nuts when Tobey Maguire got the black suit.
Yes.
Like, could you imagine in today's age, Tom Holland, the new Spider-Man, gets the symbiote? That would be epic, man.
It'd just be a total jerk to Zendaya. And then, oh my God.
That would be epic, bro. That would be epic. I hope they go
there. But then when Tom Holland gets the symbiote, he goes back to his British accent for real.
Oh. That's funny, dude. But, like, you know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. They got to have that crossover. They have to, man. They have to. And I feel like maybe it's because they do plan on doing, like, a Tom Holland symbiote thing. And they just didn't want to cross those. I don't know. But that needs to happen.
So one more thing we'll discuss that's coming up in the Spider-Verse is, I think next year they're looking at hopefully this being released, but they're going to be putting together a new series, which will probably be on Disney Plus or I guess because that's what Marvel owns it.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's going to be Spider-Man Noir.
Okay.
and it's set in the 1930s, or at least around the Great Depression.
Wow.
And it's going to star Nicolas Cage.
No way. As Spider-Man?
Yes.
You have to be kidding me. Are you serious?
I'm as a doornail.
Oh my God. Well, that sounds incredible.
Yeah, dude.
Wow. That sounds super dope. That sounds dope.
Yeah, I think that could be an absolute awesome. Here, I'm just showing Jeremiah a little.
Oh wow!
A little piece on the Spider-Man Noir news and the comic that it's kind of based on, and Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage played a version of that in the first animated Miles Morales movie.
Really?
I can't remember. Is that Into the Spider-Verse? He played a version of that. It was a smaller character, but it received enough fanfare that they're like, let's do a whole series.
Wow. I didn't know he was in Into the Spider-Verse. Wow. You never know who's behind, you know, those lines when it's like an animated thing.
Yep.
That's really cool. Oh, man. I've been wanting Nicolas Cage to be in some superhero movie ever since we saw The Flash.
Yes.
And they did that freaking cameo or whatever.
Yep.
Of him being Superman. That was like a dream come true. I couldn't believe that he was Superman, you know. That was just crazy. But, dude, this is just as nuts.
Yes, sir.
This is nuts. This is going to do extremely well. 100%. There's no way, you know. There's no way Nicolas Cage plays Spider-Man and you don't get, you know, just people flocking to about a million.
Right. Take my money.
Right. That has success written all over it.
So that's pretty much all I've got for the show. Anything else you'd like to hit on?
No, man. I think we did a pretty good job covering it. I think we were fair, you know, fair and honest, you know. We're not here to sway you guys. We're here to give our opinion, you know, and tell it like we see it, you know. But there's some bad guys out there giving reviews. I'll tell you that right now.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Do your homework.
Yeah. Straight up.
If this is your first time listening to us, we do appreciate you checking us out. And, you know, hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you're listening to. Leave us a review. That really helps get the word out. We are on Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube Music, and iHeartRadio. We do have an X or Twitter account, @DestructionPod. We do have a Facebook fan group. And, you know, come join us. Check us out. Let us know what you think. Mm-hmm. If you want to listen to some of the other shows, you know, we've covered Oppenheimer, we've covered The Marvels, we've covered Blue Beetle, Aquaman 2. So, you know, all sorts of fun stuff. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say thank you, and I'll throw it to Jeremiah.
Yeah, guys, thank you always. Thank you always. We love doing this. More than you probably will ever know. This is so much fun. But, yeah, I'm Jeremiah for Jason. We are Destruction Reviews Podcast. Please ask your parents before subscribing.